Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
I was scrolling through my YouTube app, as I normally did before sleep, and stopped. There it was again. Shaded in an unnerving discolored green was the figure. Terrifying in nature, intentionally designed to scare. I closed the app immediately. This didn't mean resignation, but rather just a timeout. In the end, I always came crawling back to my phone, no matter what I saw. But that livestream was the bane of my online existence. My parents used to tell me I spent too much time on the internet, a common thing for parents to say. To them, the hours spent was concerning, but compared to anyone else in my generation with a computer and phone, it's seen as relatively normal. I mean, if spending several hours a day online is seen as an addiction, then most of the world would be diagnosed with that. My personal vices were Reddit and YouTube. I'd subscribe to way too many channels and subreddits, and scrolling through them daily would be an endless void of new content to consume. After I'd rinsed through Reddit and caught up on the many subreddits I personally enjoyed, I'd switch over to YouTube for hours of fresh content. By the time I was finished there, Reddit was already brimming with new things to explore, and that doesn't even account for new subreddits that were constantly recommended or new YouTube channels that I was discovering on a near daily basis. My days became bloated with a consumption of pure online dopamine. However, in my repetitive grind of flicking my thumb up and up, looking for something new to binge, that damn livestream would inevitably pop up and sour my mood. When I wasn't on my phone, I'd be in my room, chilling on my PC, playing whatever game I felt like in that moment. The occasional tapping on my door, followed by voices, reminding me to eat or drink or bathe. An annoying pull back to reality, but a necessity that my parents always set up for me. It had been a few years since I'd left school. I finished just below average, with passable grades in most of the important classes. It's not that I wasn't smart. Far from it, in my opinion. I just never had something to drive me. I never grew up with a long-term career in mind, like others who wanted to be a pilot or a firefighter since childhood. And so, I just drifted in the currents of life, never making any strokes that pull myself out of the stream. Not that I didn't try when an opportunity arose. I invested the limited funds I had from government benefits into cryptocurrency when that was popping off. I even got my parents to pitch in. They were hesitant at first, but when they saw I was passionate about something, they pushed to see me strive towards something. Sadly, that bubble popped, and so did my parents' faith in me. So, that led me to where I was. Always just in my room, either playing a game, scrolling my phone, or doing the bare essentials to continue living. It wasn't much, but I was happy, living in my own little safe bubble. At around 4 in the morning, a little earlier than when I usually wound down for bed, I popped my headphones in and set some relaxing music to soothe myself to sleep. Music killed the silence. Silence which brought about too many existential thoughts that I tirelessly worked so hard to push away. As long as I kept any thoughts I didn't like out of my head, I felt I was safe. Sadly, life had other plans for me. I felt myself wake, but in an unfamiliar fashion. Though my eyes could move, my body could not. I'd never experienced this before, but I knew enough from the stories I'd read online to recognize that I was undergoing sleep paralysis. My eyes darted around, though I willed much more movement of my body. I knew what was to come, but was powerless to stop it. The only other sensation were the ominous soft murmurs in my ears from my headphones, a voice I didn't recognize. a far cry from the relaxing music I was listening to much earlier. Over the sounds of the sinister voice, and even through the earbuds, a new sound travelled across the room to me. A soft tapping that got louder and louder. It shot out from the closed door at the other end of the room, just within my field of vision. I thought the eerie sounds from the door were bad, but it was worse when they suddenly stopped, and all I could hear was the slow creaking of the door. Was this normal? I knew apparitions appeared during the hallucination period of sleep paralysis, but this didn't seem right at all. I felt myself calm, in beat with the room that now sat in silence. Nothing had moved in moments, and I took this time to try wiggle myself free from the paralysis. I stared at my exposed toes, willing them to move with all my mental might. However, the only sensation was a cooling breeze drafting over my foot from the now open door. After no progress, I blamed my lack of concentration on the annoying mutterings in my ears, ominous words that I tried my best to pay no mind to. I turned my sights to my right hand that was now peeking out of my covers. If my toes weren't willing to budge, maybe something closer to my brain would cave in first. I strained and strained until I felt something, and my whole body fell numb. From the edge of the bed crept the most gnarled, twisted abomination of a hand I'd ever seen. It gently gripped my fingers with a light squeeze, and internally, all I could do was scream. At this point, things flipped, and my biggest fear now was to move. I was worried that if it picked up any movement from me, it'd react worse than I could. Yet, things got worse. My body felt a rush of warmth, and though I didn't want to confirm it, I suspected I could move again. A luxury I dared not relish in. The hand was still gently clasped on my fingers, and it took every morsel of willpower I had left to keep my hand from shaking. It wasn't soon enough before I felt the raisin-skinned fingers slide away and down the edge of the bed. But they wouldn't stay gone for long. I heard a faint shuffle at the foot of my bed, and it didn't stop as a silhouette slowly rose from the darkness. It went up and up. It leaned forward with a wide grin and planted one hand firmly on my bed and leaned just over my toes. I couldn't hold it in any longer. I yanked my feet back as fast as I could and curled up in the most defensive of fetal positions. Through the veil of tears, between the gaps in my fingers, I saw it plant its other hand down as it braced for a crawl. I panicked and threw the nearest thing at it. The pillow bounced softly off its shoulders. Undeterred, it moved one hand forward, its smile stretching wider, progressing its inevitable disjointed pace towards me. I grabbed my other pillow and threw it. I knew from prior experience it wouldn't do anything, but trying anything felt better than accepting fate. It seemed amused as its smile stretched even wider than what looked possible. Still, throughout all this, I couldn't help but build frustration at the annoying voice muttering through my earbuds. In my more immediate danger, I hadn't thought of removing them until then. I yanked up my buds, which stung my ears, and readied myself to throw them, along with my phone at the figure, feeling like the hardened object may fare better than the feather-filled kind. But the strangest thing happened. The moment the earbuds were away from my ears and the sound fizzled out, so did the figure. I sat there, bewildered, the static-sounding whispers still buzzing through the wires clenched in my fist. I looked at the screen and saw that YouTube's autoplay put on that wretched livestream I tried so hard to avoid. Since then, things have been different. But not necessarily in a bad way. That night created an aversion in me of letting autoplay dictate my video discoveries, but after growing tired of manually scrolling to search for content, I started ending my video watching sessions earlier. Soon, I found myself using my phone less in general, which also affected my mindless scrolling sessions on my PC. At first, the free time was killer, being left to stew my own turmoils. But I use this to really filter out my thoughts, let the questions of life I've been avoiding for so long ring out in my head, dig deep for some answers locked away in me. And you know what? I found some pretty serious issues. Issues I took baby steps to solve. It wasn't easy by all means. There were times I fell, and was back in bed, scrolling brainlessly into the digital void. But I never fell fully back to who I was before, in the fear that I'd accidentally run into that damn stream again, and find myself in a worse danger than before. An event which I told people was just a trippy episode of sleep paralysis. But deep down, I knew there was something off about it. Something actually dangerous. When things got particularly bad, and I felt my old life pulling me back by the ankles, I took to some extreme measures. I pulled up my YouTube homepage, knowing it wouldn't be hard to find, or rather, let it find me. And bingo. Not two or three pulls of my scroll wheel did it pop up on my recommended page. I screen grabbed the thumbnail, blew it up on Photoshop, printed it out on my old inkjet printer, and tacked it to the wall. It was crude, pixelated, bordering on looking like a real-life cursed image. But from where I often sat, it was easy to be reminded of that night I was trying so hard to run away from. A scar to warn me of the dangers of my unhealthy life. It was enough to remind me of the danger, without actually putting myself at risk. When people came over, I just told them I enjoyed niche online horror. Some people even recognized the YouTube channel, which I personally knew nothing about. It's only been just over a year since then, but my life has turned around drastically. In place of my night browsing in bed, I now get a good night's sleep and wake up refreshed for the next day's activities. In place of gaming, I now have hobbies, a small job, and have gotten into fitness. I even posted progress pictures on Reddit, which they loved. In place of the cold online chat rooms, I went out and met some local people. Though I did cheat and met them from an online tabletop forum. But because we do meet for weekly D&D sessions and other fun meetups, to me, it counts. I only slipped once during that time. A night after a bit of drinking with my new friends. I felt almost nostalgic. The clawing of old habits pulling me by my weakened resolve after a few units of alcohol. I re-downloaded my Reddit app and caught up on a few subreddits I used to love. And when the lulls of sleep called me, I felt like soothing myself to some meditating tunes. I tried Spotify instead, hoping that the escape from YouTube might have been the answer I'd missed so long ago. But that was not the case. Just as I was on the cusp of sleeping, about to visit the land of Nod, a voice came on. A vibe much harsher and sinister than the songs I was just getting accustomed to. I quickly pulled out my headphones and powered off my device just to be sure. The sudden burst of panic sobering me up quickly and left me pumped with enough adrenaline to not sleep for the rest of the night. Frankly, it was a small price to pay for the dangers of what might have happened. Other than that, my life has gotten so much better. Everyone around me thinks I took to fighting my old lifestyle, that I just had a wake-up call and turned my life around through my own hard work. But the truth is, I did all this out of fear.